Hello and welcome to the GameSlave Podcast, episode 147. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, two of the three of us have actually done something. Or at least have stuff to talk about.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and jump things in. Last week, we were kind of complaining on how Earthbound never made it to the Virtual Console. And then before I could actually post that podcast, Nintendo announced that Earthbound was coming to the Wii U Virtual Console. If only I'd gotten that, like, up 2 days sooner, it would have been much more relevant.
Yeah, so somebody was... I follow, was it Tiny Cartridge and 8-Bit? i8-Bit on Tumblr. And they post a lot of good stuff. Especially the Tiny Cartridge. Because they do mostly handhelds, but they will do other announcements, and that was one of them, too. It's like, I'm like, oh! Well, look at that. We were just talking about it, and Nintendo finally said, okay, North America, here you go. So, I'm sure if everybody just buys it to death, maybe then they will do the other sequels that go with it that never got released here that everybody was clamoring, saying, why haven't you released them here?
Well, I thought it was really funny, because in the press release I received on that one, it actually said, you're not dreaming, this is real.
I just sometimes find their selection weird, because it's like, there's like this desire for stuff, but they're like, oh, there's a desire, but it's not a big enough desire. I'm all like, really? Really?
It's like, where do we define a big enough desire for things?
It's like getting a direct sequel to Chrono Trigger. Square kind of always sort of teased that they might have done like more of a direct sequel, because... granted, there's Chrono Cross, but I did not love it the way I loved Chrono Trigger. But they said, oh, well, we're not going to do one now because the sales were disappointing for the Game Boy Advance port. I'm like, it's a port. It's still probably, you know, semi as good as when you first released it for the Super Nintendo. And that's not counting it being released for the Virtual Console as well. And not counting the release when they released it on the PlayStation. So I'm all like, what? Really? I don't know how... I would rather see that than another Final Fantasy pump out. Because, I don't know, I just have not been, you know, impressed with Final Fantasy for a long, long time.
You know, Square could just make a small fortune if they just finally released Final Fantasy VII in the HD remake. Because for some reason, everybody wants Final Fantasy VII again.
Except for me. Unless they can approve the story or something, I don't want it.
Am I the one that never understood why Aerith actually died when they have Phoenix Downs in combat?
You always wonder about that sort of stuff.
It's like, we've got like 50 Phoenix Downs here, just give her one. No, instead let's just put her body in this lake.
Because it only works in a game mechanic, not an actual reality. I don't know.
It only works when they're knocked unconscious due to combat.
Yeah, maybe that's it. They're unconscious. It's like Pokemon. They fainted. They're not really dead.
Okay, I guess I can see that.
That's what we're going to say, which is why maybe it didn't work.
Speaking of Pokemon, what kind of screwed up world is it where one of your main economy drivers is sending, you know, preteen boys and girls out into the world by themselves to collect these creatures that have city leveling powers and then pitting them against each other? I mean, let's think about it. Imagine if, you know, let's just go with a Pikachu. Decided to get, it got a burr up its butt and decided to go on a rampage through a building or a city.
Pokemon are very nice.
Well, you see, that's why the police have Meowth.
They have electrical rats.
Or, heaven forbid, a Gyarados decided to hyperbeam the city. Just say.
Because they live in a magical world where most Pokemon are not evil at all, and so it would never happen.
Except at the behest of their masters.
Yes.
So what's to stop some terrorist group from using Pokemon to level a city?
Have we seen how well Team Rocket does in anything ever?
Or Team Galaxy?
The foremost Pokemon terrorist organization?
Well, Jesse and James are idiots.
The whole of Team Rocket.
It's not okay, just them. It's just like, was it Team Cosmos later on and Team Galaxy or something? I mean, they're not much more effective. It's because, again, it's a magical world where these sort of things don't happen.
Also, it's a kid's game. Makes about as much sense as, you know, giant, you know, stadium battles of, you know, card players.
Where if you fail, you go to some different realm for the rest of your life. What was it, Shadow Realm?
I have no idea. I never watched
I don't know.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
I never actually watched Yu-Gi-Oh! That was an awful show.
Oh, I could no. never get past the character design. I'm all like...
Angles. Angles everywhere. Everything. In my hair.
On my face. In my eyes.
Anywho. Going back to Nintendo's announcements. It looks like Pokemon was the only one that did get love this weekend with that announcement series. Because they finally announced the Pikmin 3 release dates.
Oh, that's good.
They finally announced the Game & Wario release date. There was the new Legend of Zelda game that's going on in the Link to the Past universe.
Hooray!
And then they're going to release on the Game Boy version of the Virtual Console, the downloadable store, I forget what it's called off the top of my head, Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages, and those two are going to be linked together, so what you do in one game affects the other game, like when you would have been able to previously link them via two Game Boys.
Hooray! I really wish they could have done all three of them, but they were supposed to be three. They're supposed to be like the Triforce. You know, all three goddesses are going to have their own thing, and poor Feyre kind of got sidelined into the other games. I'm just happy about Zelda, because it's Link to the Past Zelda. You could just told me it was a 3D remake of The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, and I'd be all like, okay, I'm good with that. Because it's my favorite.
Yeah, and Link's apparently going to have a special ability where he will be able to...
Turn into a picture.
Yeah, turn into a picture and kind of slide along the walls. And in this one, the magic... That'll drain your magic meter, but the magic meter in this game doesn't require pots in order to fill itself.
You got a limited amount of time, because I watched a 13-minute demo of somebody playing. The crazy thing, though, about this demo is everything was translated into English already. But it says it's not coming out till like,
the holiday
2013. So I'm just like... They must have just maybe domestically, like, translated these parts for the demo. I was really surprised how quickly it was already done. But they were basically doing sort of like the Tower of Hera, in which, you know, is where you get the last pendant.
Mm-hmm.
And go through, you know, doing like the thing using the hammer to squash down little faces to use to bounce up to higher levels and such. And even though it wasn't in the 3D, it wasn't like very hard to transition it looked like between levels and stuff. And watching the picture thing is interesting because you could do it about on any sort of surface. He was doing it on walls and moving platforms and stuff, and there's parts where you actually have to, there's moving platforms going along and there's a block in the way, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it kind of feels a little bit like Mario in this case, but Link turns into the picture and crawls along the outside to wait for the platform to go underneath so he can, you know, reemerge. Also, he can go fit between bars on windows to go outside to different places. The switches, which raise and lower the sort of blocking things, you can also get on those because now they're three-dimensional and you're not just like little tiny teeth, which is always what it reminded me of when I was playing Zelda. Little blue and orange teeth.
I was kind of wondering why Link couldn't just hop over these waist-high things, as they seemed in Link to the Past. Yeah. Like, come on!
Hey, it's just like in Pokemon, a waist-high bush is completely indestructible to anything except a Pokemon with Cutter. There was one, actually funny, I don't know why I keep going back to Pokemon, I don't even own the game. But there was a picture I saw recently that had, you know, this big old fire Pokemon standing next to it, and it's like, what do you want me to do about it? Dude, I don't have Cutter. It's like, your big old ass fire Pokemon. Do what you do best.
Burn it.
So he burns everything, and the entire forest is burnt down, except for this one little waist high tree that's blocking their path.
I always thought that was interesting to play the first Legend of Zelda is the candle. Because you have to have the candle to find the entrances to a few of the, at least in Dungeons 7 and 8, I believe, because you have to burn them.
Dungeon is Death Mountain, right?
No. Dungeon 9 is Death Mountain. 8's where you get the magical key, I believe.
So long since I played that. I just always thought it was funny. It's like, you could only use the one candle once on a screen. You had to go, like, off screen and on screen and try it again. You're like, this is such a pain.
Red candle is much improvement.
Let's see. I can't remember. Could you burn stuff when you got the magic wand in the spell book? Would it burn trees?
I can't remember.
Because I know it burned, but I don't remember.
It's been too long, too. I haven't played it forever. But I'm excited about the new one. I know some people are like, oh, I don't really like the 3D thing. I'm like, it looks, I was like, man, it looks way overhead. And then I was like, well, Link to the Past really was super overhead, too. I guess I never really thought about it that way. I don't know. I'm excited. That made me happy. Earthbound. I'm like, oh, I can try it now. But I gotta get a Wii U first. I keep teeter-tottering on that.
So yeah, I was just looking at the article I read so I could actually remember these dates. Pikmin 3 is August 3rd. Game & Mario is June
23rd. August 3rd? Man, that's still a ways out.
And I thought that was supposed to be in their launch window.
I thought that was... well, maybe they did.
Wasn't their launch window like a year or two?
It was till the end of March. It was six. It was until the end of the. I think it was the end of the fiscal quarter. The end of the fiscal year.
Oh yeah, because their fiscal year starts in April, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of video game companies need to do that.
Have a launch window of several months instead of here's five games the first have
a weird,
day.
Have a weird fiscal year that ends it that doesn't end at the end of the physical year.
I thought most of the game industry was like that because they like the holiday sales. And it's always, you can talk to your accountants, they hate doing stuff right at the very end of the year, which is why even at the church, we moved our fiscal year from April to March too.
Let's see. And according to Miyamoto, moving on to two different subjects, this is the year of Luigi. Apparently Luigi's getting some love this year.
Well, Luigi's Mansion, didn't it just come out? Or yes. Is it coming out?
Because you can't fight nudity. At least I was trying to see what GameStops might have had it in stock. None.
I'm surprised.
No, but you can buy it online, though. You can just download it. So they probably didn't have as many physical copies.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing I keep thinking about my Game Boy. I want to buy Fire Emblem. But I could just buy it through my Game Boy. But I'm still weird.
Like that physical copy.
Yeah, because if something happens, I at least still have the physical copy. Unless they can have cloud-based things like Steam, so even if something happened, I'd still have all my games.
Let's see, there is a new Party Like It's the Year of Luigi Mario Party type game, and DLC for Super Mario Bros. U called Super Luigi U. Basically, it is 82 updated stages and new adventures that feature Luigi, and much like Luigi was in Super Mario Bros. 2, Luigi jumps higher than Mario, but doesn't stop as easily. So take that as you will, whether it's a good or bad thing. And we can expect a new Yoshi's Island game sometime.
Well, that'll be interesting. Did anybody else play Yoshi's Island for Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
I did not.
It's actually really fun. Crying Baby Mario was really annoying at times, because it would just stress you out, because you're like, I gotta get the baby. So it'll stop crying. I would end up
dying, because I'm just like, God.
Yeah, to try to get Mario back from the bubble. But yeah, it was really fun. It was hard.
For you guys, a new Professor Layton game is coming to the 3DS.
I gotta finish the other one. Well, I'm two behind now. I finished one, and I finished two. And I started three.
Weren't they making a Layton,
There's a Layton anime.
No, Layton and Phoenix White.
Oh, yes. Layton and Phoenix Wright game.
And then a new Animal Crossing game and Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Yeah, I saw that one, too. I was like, man, the Shin Megami is a pretty big title on the 3DS. Because it's a crazy series. I remember my brother playing one for, a PlayStation or PlayStation 2. We didn't get very far in it because we were borrowing it from one of his friends, but it was just way out there. You're turning into, demons. It was weird. I can't even explain it, because I haven't been able to play any of the other ones, because I never finished the first one.
Interesting. And that's all I got from the Nintendo new releases. Did you remember any others that maybe I skipped up on?
That's mostly what I, been remembering seeing here, too. And I was just like, man, that's a, pretty decent lineup.
I know there are a few other Mario titles. There was one where, Mario and Luigi Dream Team were... Mario has to go between the real world and Luigi's dreams in order to save Princess Peach. A Mario Minis on the Move. Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move. That's that one where they go into the other world, where into the other Donkey Mario universe, where he's still trying to capture Donkey Kong, and he has that other girl.
Yeah, Pauline.
Pauline. And then Mario Golf World Tour, where it's at, where it has an online multiplayer golf setup. Those are all the games I remember now. Yes.
There's a lot of handheld games.
They seem to be focusing mostly on the handheld versus the console, because like the list of stuff that came out for the 3DS was like twice as long as the list of stuff that came out for the Wii U, and half the stuff on the Wii U title was either updates or just letting us know about games they'd already announced.
Maybe there'll be some more stuff at E3.
Maybe. I know, it seems like they're kind of... I don't know, it seems like eventually Nintendo might just let their console go by the wayside and just work solely on handhelds. Or at least that's what it feels like based on how much they're... on what they're marketing more towards.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden they're just really strong on the 3DS.
Well, it's been like that for a while, where it's like they haven't really seemed to focus much on the console. Like, last year, I remember it seemed most of the stuff you wanted to see, most of the stuff they focused on was the 3DS. Or at least, I don't know, maybe I'm just reading too much into it.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I know, that's what I've been playing mostly right now. Still working my way slowly but surely through Harvest Moon. I feel like my days are super long, mostly because it's like, do all these requests! And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do all these requests for people. And before I know it, I'm like, man, I barely did like one day because I, you know, took care of my animals, took care of my crops, when did all these requests for people. Calcifer, you should play a game for me so I get along farther. I'm not even out of spring yet. I'm almost out, but not quite.
Let's see. And then... past few days, I went and rented Injustice Gods Among Us since it just came out last Tuesday. And it's not a bad fighting game. I mean, if you're a big DC fan or just a comic book fan in general, I think you'll really like this game. Because in that sense, it's pure fan service for those kinds of fans. You know, being able to pit Superman against Lex Luthor, Green Lantern versus Sinestro, Wonder Woman versus Killer Frost. I think they're archenemies or something like that. Batman versus Joker. Harley Quinn versus Joker. I mean, those two gotta have some couples fights. That might level a small town.
I don't think Joker has ever, you know, officially said, you know, you are my main squeeze girl. I think Harley just sort of wishes he would be her, you know, significant other, and that's just creepy.
Yeah. But, the story mode was actually kind of fun. I mean, it makes sense why you'd have these random fights pop out in a superhero story type mode. Cause like they show them trying to do this thing, they run into the enemy, they do some verbal sparring, and then they do some actual sparring. And they even come up with a plausible story reason for why like Green Arrow doesn't just get turned into paste when he gets punched by Solomon Grundy. They have this special pill that has, based on Kryptonian sciences, that makes their bodies, you know, hard as a rock. Kind of like Superman. So it gives actually some plausibility to why they're not getting, you know, pancaked in one punch. And they have a meter system in this game that as you build it up, you can either use the meter to power up your regular attacks, or, well, your special regular attacks, you know, like quarter forward X or something like that.
Yeah.
Or if you let it fill up all the way, in my case it was pulling left trigger and right trigger at the same time, activated a super mode, your super attack. And if you connected with your super attack on the when it was activated, then you would do like somewhere between 33 to 40% damage to the opposing character. And in the case of some of these attacks, like if you're playing the Flash, he would punch you, you would get dazed, he would run around the planet, and then punch you when he came back around. You would kind of take off the air, he'd run behind you, and then hit you so you hit the ground again real hard. That one took about 39% damage. So did Superman's uppercut into orbit, which I don't, in all reality, why didn't he just let him keep going into orbit? Because that would have ended the fight right there. But he flies up and then pounds him down so they, you know, hit the ground real hard.
Yeah, if he just sends you up into orbit, you'll just die of asphyxiation because of lack of oxygen.
Depends on who you are. If you're Doomsday, you're not going to worry about that because you're Doomsday. He's an asshole.
Yeah, I don't know if Batman can breathe in space.
You don't have your helmet to cover your full head.
He has something in the bat in his utility belt that will allow him to breathe in space and turn his suit into a spacesuit. You know it to be true.
I know, but there was a comic somewhere where they're like, Batman, your helmet doesn't even cover your head. He's like, I'm Batman, I breathe in space. And it's like, Superman looks really concerned there.
Batman is actually really fun because he throws a batarang. His initial attack is he throws a batarang at the ground, which does a puff of smoke, which disorients the character. Then he does something on a wrist computer, shocks the guy with some stun sticks, jumps back, throws a batarang at them, then does a backflip. And as he does the backflip, the Batmobile comes right under him and runs over the opponent. I always wondered where the Batmobile come from because I'd be looking at the screen where it came from and seeing a solid wall. So, like, where did it come from? Where did it go?
It's magical!
Carrie Bear's response was, it's Batman. What were some other fun ones? Aquaman's is, he floods the area, spears you with his trident, and then holds you up for a shark to eat you. Green Lantern's was, you all of a sudden end up in Oa in front of the giant power battery. And then he slams you with it. Let's see, what was it? Shoots you, slams you with something, and then throws four fighter jets at you. Of course, all made of his green energy ring. It was fun stuff like that. Sinestro took you into orbit, slammed two asteroids against you. So, I mean, they're fun to watch. And Care Bear and I went through a multiplayer and went through each character so we could see each one of their things. And they're not like true game finishers. If you're good, you can come back from that. As I said, you can also use that power bar to get out of, you know, somebody juggling you, enhance your powers, which sometimes is more useful than using the superpower, especially if you're good at comboing things together. But the real fun of the game is the stages. All the stages have interactive backgrounds to them. So say you're, I'm in the tower, the watchtower. You know, there's this little drone that's kind of patrolling above you. You jump up, you can jump up, grab it, and throw it at your foe. There's also a, like, jet track test where if you're right by it and your enemy comes to you, you pull a lever, you jump out of the way, and then they get burned by the jet track. And then they have transition areas where if you hit back and A at the same time, then when the foe is near a transition area, you'll punch them into the next area, which will do a good amount of damage. In the watchtower, since going from the lower area to the top area, you get kicked out of the watchtower, you hit a satellite, bounce into a spacecraft that's coming back, which then crashes into the watchtower and throws you into the new area. So those are pretty fun to watch, too. And Metropolis had three of them, Gotham had two. I don't think there were any in Aquaman's stage, at least not that I remember. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun to play through those sections. And then there was a Star Labs section. Star Labs can kind of bite me. I see where it kind of mixes things up, gives you something other to aim for other than just a fighting game, but some of the goals I just found annoying, and then I would skip that level. Like the Superman, don't get hit for 20 seconds. It's very hard not to get hit for 20 seconds.
I guess the blocking doesn't count.
The one time, when I tried to block, they would just jump behind me before I could react, and they would punch me. And it was Catwoman, so she had her whip, so she was a little bit ranged. It was a pain in the ass. And I don't care if Superman is weakened by kryptonite, it will take more than one punch to make him go down like that.
Unless it's for dramatic effect.
So I was a little irritated at that. Yeah, dramatic effects, but it's a fighting game. I was irritated at that. So, I mean, I understand how the Star Labs thing for a good fighting gamer can add more length to this game, and especially if you do the online multiplayer stuff, I can see adding a lot to this game. But for me, And there's 20 characters right now. They've already announced their first DLC character, which is Lobo the Bounty Hunter.
Which, oh, Lobo.
Part of me just wants to rewrite this game and get that DLC just to see what his attacks are like.
But Space Biker,
the main man. Anywho, but yeah, that's about all I've got to say about Injustice, which was actually a lot to say. At least it felt that way. Any questions?
No.
Okay. That's all I really got for gaming. Do you guys have anything before I move into reminding people about the convention next week?
No, I didn't. Like I said, the only other gaming I did was Harvest Moon and plugging my way through I want to get to summer. I want new summer crops. And I need to go buy some more cows and chickens since I actually have some money now. It's always hard. In this game, it's hard because you can't grow. It actually is proper. You can't just automatically leave the egg sitting in the nest and baby chicks will come out because you don't have a rooster.
Okay, that's good.
At least it's not like, which is the one where you had to buy, like, miracle serum or whatever to...
You always do.
To make more cows.
If you want your cows to, you know, have babies and such, yeah, you have to just go buy the miracle potion. You give them a miracle potion and then they're pregnant and then they have a baby.
Miracle potion, also known as bull semen.
It's a miracle potion, Jim.
It's the miracle of life.
It's the miracle of artificial insemination. I don't want to know where you're applying that potion, though.
Probably in the standard method that all cattle ranchers are familiar with.
It's harvest food. They're happy, slimy cows, which don't really look that way. So let's just say it's a magical potion.
A magical potion that you add to their feed that makes them pregnant, right?
Yeah!
I bet you there are several cattle ranchers that actually wished it worked that way. Anywho, moving on. Next weekend is the Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown and Game Room Expo. It's the 26th to 28th, so yeah, next weekend. And it's at the Sheraton in the DTC. For those of you that don't remember talking about this a week or so ago, there are going to be 125 pinball and arcade machines that are all set to free to play. So if you're a fan of those old systems and want to relive when arcades were actually good, head on down there, have some fun. They're gonna have tournaments, a few talkers. Apparently, this giant Kinects pinball machine is also gonna be there, so that'll be kind of neat just to see what somebody did with the Kinects. And yeah, and that's pretty much all I got on that. We'll have more on it after we've run it, because we'll actually have, you know, pictures and we can reflect on what it was like.
Instead of just sort of thinking about what it might be like.
Yeah, we've never been to this, so I can't say it's like, well, last year it was like this. Like, I wasn't there last year, so I can't really say
that.
I
didn't even know it existed until you mentioned it. I was like, really? I never even heard this.
So many people have not.
And Starfest, and Comic Fest, and Game Fest, and whatever all the other stuff.
Horror, robot media.
Fests. The fests.
It all happened this weekend, which... We probably should have gone, but since we're doing the convention thing next week, we felt it better not to drive ourselves insane 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah, I've never been to a Starfest. I always kind of thought it would be interesting to go, but I gotta admit right now, Starland, your website really is not very nice for telling me what your pricing structure is. I couldn't find pricing anywhere. And every time I would click on something, it was like an internal reference for the page, and it wouldn't go anywhere. Because there was nothing to queue for it. I'm all like, okay. This tells me nothing. At least knew it was there. But yeah, if some of your ticket stuff, if you buy the more premium tickets, guarantees you seating at, you know, certain panels and all this other stuff. And I'm all like, I don't want to know how much those ones cost. They're probably a couple $100. I don't have a couple $100 to be spending to, you know, have prime seating at a convention.
Well, it's like on Wednesday, which I wasn't originally going to mention this because this probably won't be up in time, but the Stanley add-on package goes on sale for Comic-Con on Wednesday, which guarantees you meeting Stanley when he's there on Sunday.
As long as he's there.
Well, he's supposed to be. I mean, it's not like another headliner called off last time. Oh, well,
we had a work conflict schedule.
Will Wheaton's supposed to be there this year, so.
I don't know. Have you ever been to a Starfest? I just always feel, like, overwhelmed to go to one. I mean, IndieCade is kind of overwhelming a little bit sometimes just because of the mass of people now, but that one, I'm just like, I don't even know. I don't know.
I have not been to a Starfest. Although I kind of got over the overwhelmed.size part when I went to E3.
E3 is super overwhelming. You're there with 50,000 other people.
But in a much bigger space, at least.
Yeah, it's still a lot of people. And just getting, you know, standing in line for 2 hours to try one thing, because we are the unwashed masses at E3. We don't have the more exclusive press badge, unfortunately.
Not yet.
Working at it very slowly but surely.
But that's about all I've got to talk about this week. Do you guys have anything you want to add before we wrap up?
The other thing we've been doing is watching Bleach. I gotta stop watching Bleach, though. It just zaps all of my motivation to do anything. It does. I'm just sort of like, can't do anything. Let's go through another episode. Like, why does it take so long? And sometimes on Hulu, it kind of freaks out when it, like, skips ahead a couple because, you know, it doesn't register that I've hit the button once. And so you're like, did it really think about it or not? I don't know if you've ever noticed that with Hulu Plus on your device. But with me, it's like, it times out. So it skips ahead. And then, like, I skipped ahead a couple seasons and I read some spoilers about stuff. And I was like, we don't get to that till here. We're like two seasons. Why? Why does it take so long? I should just be done.
Remember, you can at least skip the filler anime.
I just wish that, you know, they would have the English version on there so I could just, you know, not have to. I can draw and watch at the same time.
Do something else and be productive while you're watching TV?
Yes. It's really hard when it's subtitled.
Yeah, so then we noticed that Daria's on Hulu, so...
Yeah, we're reliving our high school years. There's all 60-some episodes on there. I'm like, why not? The only thing that's weird is that there's no music. Other than, you know, some of the, like, sort of, like, transitional music they made for it. Like, all the bands that they kind of, sort of, didn't secure rights for originally are not on there. Even the opening theme song doesn't have its lyrics. That happened later.
What?
Have you ever noticed that there were lyrics?
Yeah, they have been there.
No, they haven't been singing anything. They haven't been singing the lyrics to the song for the opening and closing. They've just been doing the la-las.
Really?
Yep. And I don't know if it's because it didn't appear until the next season or what. So we're only halfway through. I don't know. Did you ever watch Daria?
Nope.
She's the most sarcastic person ever who would not conform to society standards. And her friend was an artist.
Well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and call it a day.
Yeah, I don't have nothing else to talk about.
Go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And yeah, in the meantime, have a great week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.